Part 3. Extended Discourse.
In this section, you will hear an extended monologue and an extended dialogue. Before listening to the passage, you will read questions. You will listen to the passage twice, and then you will answer a series of questions that appear in your test booklet. The mobile phone. Questions 24 through 31 are based on the following lecture. The lecturer is explaining how the mobile phone was invented and how it has developed into its current form. Read questions 24 through 31 now. Now, listen to the lecture. In April 1973, Martin Cooper entered the history books when he made a call on his portable phone. Cooper, the Motorola vice president, made the call on a cellular phone weighing 2 pounds, which, though technically portable, was far from pocket-sized. His call was made to a rival company, Bell Laboratories, which is unlikely to have gone down well in those quarters. The predecessors of the first mobile phone prototype were car phones, using radio technology. Since the phone needed to maintain constant contact with the base, this ruled out portability. In comparison, the new generation cell phone was far more versatile in this regard. However, the first cell phones were so prohibitively expensive that users regarded them as a niche product for only the very wealthy. Nevertheless, cell phones caught on remarkably quickly despite the phone's cost and cumbersome size. Waiting lists for the groundbreaking phone ran into thousands. By 1984, cell phone users numbered over 300,000 in total. The new cell phone could not throw off its rich kids' toy image, though. Users were generally seen as little more than image-conscious posers with more money than sense. It wasn't for almost another decade that a text message facility would become available on the phones. The inaugural text message was sent by Neil Papworth, a test engineer for SEMA Group, UK. Far from being a message of great portent, it was merely to convey season's greetings to a close friend. Subsequently, Scandinavian company Radiolinja earned the distinction of being the first company to offer a person-to-person SMS network in 1994. Later, the company teamed up with rivals Telecom Finland to provide a cross-network functionality in 1995. Today, only a negligible minority of the world's population does not own a cell phone. In fact, cell phones are used by 87% of the global population and have reached the bottom of the economic pyramid. Their price in relation to income has plummeted, and phones are increasingly more multifunctional and efficient to use. Cell phones that do not include cameras, movie cameras, and access to the internet are a rarity. Network coverage is always improving and is now almost universal. Even in third world countries, such as Africa, the cell phone is used for everyday transactions, such as paying for goods and services. The world over, cell phones have become an indispensable part of daily life. Increases in workplace efficiency are incalculable, not to mention the safety net provided by cell phones when a user is in danger. It is a moot point, however, whether cell phones have aided or degraded communication in its everyday, conversational sense. For all too many, cell phones have become a substitute for face-to-face interaction with disastrous social consequences. We may yet rue the day when the cell phone ever entered our lives as we seek the comfort of human interaction and find it increasingly substituted for a voice at the end of the line. Now, listen again. In April 1973, Martin Cooper entered the history books when he made a call on his portable phone. Cooper, the Motorola vice president, made the call on a cellular phone weighing 2 pounds, which, though technically portable, was far from pocket-sized. His call was made to a rival company, Bell Laboratories, which is unlikely to have gone down well in those quarters. The predecessors of the first mobile phone prototype were car phones, using radio technology. Since the phone needed to maintain constant contact with the base, this ruled out portability. In comparison, the new generation cell phone was far more versatile in this regard. However, the first cell phones were so prohibitively expensive that users regarded them as a niche product for only the very wealthy. Nevertheless, cell phones caught on remarkably quickly despite the phone's cost and cumbersome size. Waiting lists for the groundbreaking phone ran into thousands. By 1984, cell phone users numbered over 300,000 in total. The new cell phone could not throw off its rich kids' toy image, though. Users were generally seen as little more than image-conscious posers with more money than sense. It wasn't for almost another decade that a text message facility would become available on the phones. The inaugural text message was sent by Neil Papworth, a test engineer for Sema Group, UK. Far from being a message of great portent, it was merely to convey season's greetings to a close friend. Subsequently, Scandinavian company Radiolinja earned the distinction of being the first company to offer a person-to-person SMS network in 1994. Later, the company teamed up with rivals Telecom Finland to provide a cross-network functionality in 1995. Today, only a negligible minority of the world's population does not own a cell phone. In fact, cell phones are used by 87% of the global population and have reached the bottom of the economic pyramid. Their price in relation to income has plummeted, and phones are increasingly more multifunctional and efficient to use. Cell phones that do not include cameras, movie cameras, and access to the internet are a rarity. Network coverage is always improving and is now almost universal. Even in third world countries, such as Africa, the cell phone is used for everyday transactions, such as paying for goods and services. The world over, cell phones have become an indispensable part of daily life. Increases in workplace efficiency are incalculable, not to mention the safety net provided by cell phones when a user is in danger. It is a moot point, however, whether cell phones have aided or degraded communication in its everyday, conversational sense. For all too many, cell phones have become a substitute for face-to-face interaction with disastrous social consequences. We may yet rue the day when the cell phone ever entered our lives as we seek the comfort of human interaction and find it increasingly substituted for a voice at the end of the line.